We've heard about aged care reform, a major focus of the federal budget this year with a $17.7 billion spend, SA receiving 22% of the budget's infrastructure spend as well. There are roadworks planned in our region. There's veteran support, support for women and domestic violence victims, regional health, mental health, all sorts of different things. A $106 billion deficit has been projected, though, looking a lot less dire than anticipated. Joining me now is the member for Barker, Tony Passon. Hi there, Tony.
Hi, Jenny.
Now, this is the government's second COVID budget, and it shows Australia's economy is recovering at a much faster rate than expected.
That's right. This is follows on from our pandemic budget in October, and it's a budget that very much seeks to plan a secure recovery from the economic crisis that COVID has inflicted on us. When you and I spoke in October, following that pandemic budget, there were 500,000 Australians who today are in employment because of the extraordinary measures we took in light of the situation we found ourselves in, decisive, strong action. But whilst we're ahead of the pack now and in a very, very good position, we can't take that for granted. So this budget is basically doubling down on the measures that have worked over the course of the last 9 months to project that long into the future.
So how do people in the electorate of Barker benefit from budget measures this year?
Well, the first thing to say, and I'm really pleased to see this measure in the budget, because lower taxes is something that I'm a massive supporter of, and I know is deeply embedded in our coalition DNA. There are 66,000 taxpayers in Barker that will pay less tax as a result of the announcements last night. Anyone earning between $48,000 and $90,000 can expect a rebate. That rebate is on a sliding scale, obviously, relative to how much tax they pay, but it's up to $1,080 for a single and $2,160 for a couple. So in terms of individual impacts, that's very much the largest by number, 66,000 taxpayers in Barker. In terms of the spending elements of this budget, there is significant road funding, whether it's the Truro bypass or funding to investigate the duplication of the Swanport Bridge or an alternative freight route for heavy vehicles off the southeastern freeway onto the northern connector. Pleased to see that Rowan Ramsay and I were successful in retaining $20 million a year for special local roads funding for South Australia. And, of course, $3.5 million for funding to repump the Barossa from recycled water from Bolivar. But the big-ticket items in this budget, Jenny, are very much the response to the Royal Commission on Aged Care with $17.7 billion. That'll include infrastructure much needed in rural and regional Australia. By that, I mean aged care upgrades to their facilities. There was a big piece around childcare. $2.3 billion in additional funding for mental health services hasn't received a lot of attention in this budget. It is probably the health challenge of our time outside of the pandemic. Additional funding for the NDIS, bulk billing incentives for country GPs, which I know is a topic you and I have spoken on before about how we incentivise GPs to come out to the regions. Well, one of the ways is we provide them with a bulk billing incentive if they do that, and all of that is done against the background of wanting to incentivise private business to keep investing in capital via the instant asset write-off and other expensing measures.
Right. Now, when will that road infrastructure work get underway? Because from what I understand, $130 million of the $3.2 billion promised for major road projects will be delivered in this coming financial year.
Yeah, well, if we take the Truro bypass, Jenny, as an example, I mean, that's a $160 million commitment federally to a project that's costed at $202 million, the difference being a $42 million contribution from the South Australian state government. We will literally turn the first sod on that project in 2022. The time between now and then is required to undertake the detailed planning and design works, and also to enter into effective and meaningful consultation with the affected community of Truro, which I should say is broadly supportive of this project. But that project won't be completed until 2026. So what you find in terms of infrastructure projects is that the decision is taken today, and of course we need to commit to the full cost of a project, because it wouldn't be much of a project if we said we would fund this year's allocation to a five-year build, but we don't know about the second, third, fourth or fifth years. You can't build half a road or a portion of a road. And then effectively that project is funded across the forwards, and by the forwards we made the forward estimates the 4 years. So there is roadworks happening today that were most likely announced in two or three budgets ago. They're the witches hats out there in community right now. And while I'm talking about that, can I thank all your listeners for the patience they're showing, given the amount of roadworks that are taking place around Barker at the moment. But the announcement, like the likes of the Truro Bypass, is an announcement we make today. And whilst initial funding is available in this year, you know, the rubber really starts to hit the road in 2022 through to 2026, wherein we'll complete the project.
Member for Barker, Tony Passon, is with me. With a $106 billion deficit projected, can we afford to continue cutting taxes?
Well, Jenny, on the cutting taxes question, we take the view that Australians should retain more of what they earn. Importantly, we're confident that they will spend that savings, if you like, which will provide additional confidence to businesses and other things and operate as a stimulus. Your question regarding net debt is a good one. Obviously, given the unprecedented circumstances we find ourselves in, and noting that we came into the pandemic in an incredibly strong financial position, which gave us the firepower to take the unprecedented economic measures that we did, the reality is if we withdrew right now, we would face the very real risk of that recovery faltering. So what we are doing is running a strong deficit budget. The cost to the budget of that additional borrowing is much lower than it would have been, because government has effectively borrowed this money at an interest rate which is historically low, 0.88%, meaning that we're actually paying less in terms of interest contributions than we have previously, notwithstanding the additional debt. And because our economy is recovering so strongly, in the last 6 months alone, our budget position has improved by $52.7 billion. So our view is we need to support the economy appropriately at this stage, as we've done over the last 9 or so months through the pandemic, so that we can ensure as many Australians are in work as possible, so that they can make a contribution to meeting those future contributions to meet the debt today. The failure to do that would mean that we would have 15% unemployment, which was the figure that Treasury estimated at the beginning of this pandemic, which would mean those additional people would not only not be making a contribution via their PAYG tax, but they would be also drawing down on general revenue via welfare payments. So to avoid that outcome, we're providing stimulus into the economy, and I should say that net debt as a share of GDP, notwithstanding this extraordinary funding, is actually reducing. So net debt as a share of GDP reduces each and every year across the forward estimates. This is a measured and targeted response to a 1-in-100-year economic crisis.
Yeah, and there's lots of winners in the budget, including veterans. Did you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, of course, we have committed to the Royal Commission, Jenny, in relation to veteran suicides in particular. This is an important effort. It is one thing for our government to ask people to serve in the defence of our nation. It's another thing to ensure they have the correct supports when they return. There's more than $302 million to support the Department of Veterans Affairs operations to enhance its capabilities. That includes $98.5 million to significantly boost the public service workforce by 440 staff. We want Department of Veterans Affairs claims and the needs of Australian diggers to be facilitated, and the best way we can do that is to make sure the Department of Veterans Affairs has the resources it needs to implement the programs and an additional $133.6 million over 4 years to improve those services to support veterans and their families, enhancing their physical, mental and economic well-being. Like I said, it's one thing to ask people to go and defend our values and make sure Australia remains a safe and secure place. It's another thing to ensure, and an equally important thing, to ensure that the conclusion of their service is the requisite supports to make sure that they can reintegrate into civil society in a way that avoids the harm that might have been inflicted to them necessarily during the course of their duties.
Now, I think we'll need to wrap this up, but any final words on the budget this year, Tony? Of course, we haven't been able to cover everything.
Well, there's a lot in the budget, but ultimately, Jenny, this is a budget which seeks to continue our economic recovery. It's backing Australians, reducing taxes, providing the essential services Australians expect and quite frankly deserve, and together we'll continue this fantastic economic recovery that each and every Australian should be very proud of.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Jenny.